We're going to read in the book of Jeremiah today, Jeremiah chapter 32, if you want to look there with me. We are into a new year, and we need God more than ever. We need the help of God more than we ever have. I recognize that, and I think most all of us, if we'll be honest, we're facing a new year. We don't know what the challenges are that are ahead of us, but we know we can trust God with all that is ahead. I want you to be encouraged today. I want you to sense the help of God as we get started in this new year. Just be reminded that God knows the end from the beginning from the end. He knows all about it. Amen. He knows where we'll be at this time next year. And you can trust him with your life. And I think if we could just remember that we're here under divine appointment. We have a call of God and a divine appointment that we need to recognize. And we are in his keeping. And we're here, as it says in the book of Esther, about Esther, for such a time as this. We're here in this world. We're not just living out our days, but we have a divine appointment from God. It's important that we fulfill that and that we do what the Lord is asking us to do. But I know that as we're looking toward the future, this coming year, some of you no doubt are facing some situations that may seem challenging, some even impossible things. Some of you have needs and problems that they're really big. You don't know what to do about them. And problems can come in so many forms and from so many different directions. Family situations, job situations, financial situations in your life. Some of you may be faced with decisions. You may be faced with some physical problems, health problems. And again, problems can come in so many different forms. And some of you are facing things just down the road here, challenges, and you need help from the Lord. And you need to understand his divine plan and the way that he's working. I was thinking I would call this the God of impossibilities, but I decided to flip it and say the God of possibilities. Not impossibilities, but possibilities. He is the God of possibilities. And so whatever you have ahead of you today, you need to understand that God's working and God can move, and as dark and difficult as it might get, God is going to be right there with you. He's going to help you. He's going to direct your steps. And he's going to turn the impossible into possible if you'll put your faith and your trust in the Lord. I don't know where this quote came from. I read it. It's just, let me read it to you, and he'll put it up on the screen. We're all faced with many great opportunities, brilliantly disguised as impossible situations. Amen. Those very things that are ahead of you that think, oh, that could never change. That's impossible. That person could never get saved. That situation could never be turned around. That problem could never be resolved. It's too big. All of those impossibilities really are possibilities when we put our faith and our trust in the Lord. There is a prayer of Jeremiah. I'm going to read the prayer, and then I'm going to go back and just kind of go through this chapter, because it's important whenever you read one verse to not just read the text, but see it in its context. This prayer, which is well known to us all from the book of Jeremiah 32 and 17, it just says, O Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Now, that's the prayer of Jeremiah. I think it would be worthwhile as you're praying today and this week for you to pray this same prayer. Lord, you made the heavens. You created everything that is. You can outstretch your strong arm because there's nothing is too hard for you. And you can even insert your problem or your concern or your worry or whatever it is that you're up against. You can insert that in your prayer and just say, Lord, this is not too hard for you. This is not too hard for you. This person is not too hard. This health situation is not too hard for you. This financial problem, it's not too big for you, Lord. And pray that kind of a prayer because he is a God of possibilities. Amen. Now let's look at that verse in its context. Reading and going back to verse number one. I'm just going to go through this verse by verse and kind of just describe what's happening here. You remember that Jeremiah is a prophet to Judah and Jerusalem. He is a prophet during the time of, he was warning them at the beginning of his prophetic ministry. He's warning them about the fact that they are going to face judgment, that Babylon is going to come in and come against them and attack them, and they're going to face great loss and tragedy. And he is preaching it and warning them about it, but now it's happening. Verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem. So I want you to get the picture of what's going on. The city of Jerusalem is besieged. It just means it's surrounded. They have been surrounded. When a city was laid siege, they would surround the city. They would keep. They would block all the supply lines, not only of food supplies and everything that they needed, but they also would block anyone from coming in and going out. So messages, this was before cell phones and before radio or TV or anything for that matter. And so their only means of communication would be those that would come in and out. And so when a city was laid siege, like this city of Jerusalem was by the Babylonian armies, then they are completely cut off and they have no supply. That's the circumstance that the city of Jerusalem is now in. They are surrounded by their enemy. It says that the Babylonian army besieged Jerusalem. And Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison. Now he's not actually in prison, but he's in the king's court and he's confined there, really a prisoner there in the king's court. And the reason that he is there is because the king is upset with what he is prophesying. He has said all this was going to happen all along. And you notice here that he is shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, he put him in prison. It says he shut him up, and really, literally, that's what he was trying to do, is shut him up. He didn't want to hear what Jeremiah was saying. Jeremiah was hearing the word of the Lord, and he was warning them over and over and over again, this is what's getting ready to happen. If you don't repent, if you don't call on the Lord, if you don't turn from your wickedness, this is what's going to happen. So Zedekiah, the king, put him in prison. He said in verse 3, this is why he was in prison. Wherefore dost thou prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. He had been prophesying that and preaching that for a long time, saying Babylon is going to come in here and they're going to take captive and you're going to face the consequences of your sin and your rebellion. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape. He prophesied and said, King Zedekiah, you're going to try to escape this, but you're not going to be able to outrun it. You're going to try to get away from it, but you'll not be able to. As a matter of fact, he says, shall surely be delivered in the hand, into the hand of the king of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him mouth to mouth, and his eyes shall behold his eyes. Actually, what happened to Zedekiah, as his eyes were put out by the Babylonians later, his eyes were put out, and he was taken into captivity, and he died like a slave in Babylon. I wouldn't want to hear a message like that either, but it was the truth. And Jeremiah heard the word of the Lord, and he's speaking at a most difficult time, and as a result, he winds up in prison. Zedekiah trying to shut him up and keep him from saying what God was saying. Verse 5, it says, and he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there shall he be until I visit him, which is just another phrase for saying, until he dies an untimely death. Though you fight with the Chaldeans, you shall not prosper. Zedekiah, if you don't turn away from what you're doing, you're doomed. There is no hope. Now, that was the prophet Jeremiah's message to the king, Zedekiah, and to the city of Jerusalem. Now the story takes a complete twist, a complete turn. It's almost as if it's not in the same context, but it is, because he's in prison. And verse 6, it says, and Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came unto me. So he hears another word from the Lord. And the word of the Lord is this, that your uncle, his name is Hamil, his son is going to come. Your nephew, Shalom, is going to come to you, and he's going to say, I want you to buy my field, because you have the right of redemption to buy it. Now, this seems like it's so different. I mean, why would he want to buy a field in a place that's getting ready to be completely overtaken by the Babylonians? Why would he want to do that? Well, he did it because the word of the Lord said to do it. He heard the word of the Lord, and it was confirmed by the fact that this is what the Lord said was going to happen. And then here comes his nephew saying to him, I've got this parcel, this estate of property, and I want you to buy it. I mean, he's in prison, and the whole city is under the judgment and facing the judgment of the Babylonians, and God is speaking to him and saying to him, buy this parcel of land. It's so amazing. It's so interesting. He said, buy the field, I pray thee, that is in Anoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is thine. And the redemption is thine. Buy it for thyself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord, because his nephew came and fulfilled the prophecy. Came and actually offered it to sell him this piece of land. And it says in verse 9, I bought the field. My uncle's son that was in Anahoth, and weighed him the money. Now, as to where he got the money, I mean, he's in prison. Apparently he had some resources, some connection where he was able. And actually the amount of money that's mentioned here is not much money at all, really, for this piece of property. It's not much at all. And I subscribed the evidence. This is important. This is like the deed that he made sure that it was official. I subscribed the evidence and sealed it and took witnesses and weighed him the money in the balance. So I took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open. And I gave the evidence of the purchase unto Barak, the son of Neriah, the son of Messiah, in the sight of Hanameel, mine uncle's son, and in the presence of the witnesses that subscribed the book of the purchase. This was all the official signing of the deed, all with all the witnesses, making sure that everybody knew that the property was purchased, officially purchased, and that there was the record of it. What difference does it make? This land is getting ready to be overtaken by the Babylonians. Well, it makes a difference because God said to do it. It made the difference because God said, this is what's going to happen. They're going to come and offer you this land. You need to buy it. And why is this important? It was to be sealed. It was to be set aside. Verse 14, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed and this evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel that they may continue many days. Now here's the story. Here's the whole purpose of all that God is doing for Jeremiah. This city is getting ready to face judgment. All of Judah is getting ready to come under the judgment of God. The Babylonians are getting ready to march in, and they're going to destroy, and they're going to take everything of value. They're going to march a lot of the people all the way to Babylon, and they're going to stay down there for 70 years. It's the judgment of God upon a wicked people. It really is. So why would God tell Jeremiah, buy this land, preserve it, make sure it's official, seal it up so that it's sealed for many, many days until after the captivity, until at the end of the 70 years, that God can provide for his sons and daughters and his family and those that would inherit from him, that there will be a provision made for them. Right in the middle of all of that trouble and calamity and destruction, God has taken care of Jeremiah and his people. God's taking care of them. Now, it's in the context of all this that he prays that prayer. Verse 16, now when I delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Barak, the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. There is such a lesson in trusting God for your future, putting your future into the hands of God, and understand that our God is a God that can, out of the midst of tragedy and destruction and hopelessness, he could speak a word of hope and possibility for your future. Praise God. Amen. I'm telling you, folks, we're living in some pretty troubled times right now in our country and around the world. A lot of people have lost heart. They have given up. Some folks have even given up on God. Some folks have just walked away from church and walked away from the things of God because things are so difficult and challenging during these times. But let's be reminded today as we move into this new year that God is the God who makes a way, and he has a plan for down the road. He has a plan for this month and next month and 6 months from now. And at this time next year, God is at work and he is not forsaking you. He did not forsake Jeremiah right in the middle of all of this destruction and all that he was going through. God said, wait a minute here now. I want you to buy a piece of property because that property is going to belong to your those that are going to inherit from you in 70 years. Buy a piece of property, seal it, preserve it, make sure that it's legally preserved, because one of these days that land is going to be vineyards. It's going to be ground that's going to be productive. It's going to be fruitful. One of these days, all this land that's being laid waste is going to be something valuable and precious to you. And God has provided it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we need to look to the Lord today, because he is the God of today, but he's also the God of this next week and next month. He's the God of possibilities, who can turn every situation around and do something mighty in it. So wherever you are, you could pray the prayer of Jeremiah. Now when you see the context of that prayer, it causes you to really understand, oh, he is crying out to God. God, I've done everything you've asked me to do, but God, this is impossible. This is a situation that could never be turned around. It doesn't seem at all possible, but God is the God who steps in and makes the impossible possible. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So it's important. Notice Jeremiah, he heard the word of the Lord. It's important to hear the word of the Lord. And the way to do that is to spend time with God and spend time with his word. Take advantage of every opportunity that you have, like Jeremiah did. He was in tune with God, a prophet of God. He heard the word of the Lord, and we need to hear from God for 2022. That's why we're fasting and praying, because we don't know what lies ahead, but we know that we can trust God in the middle of all of these situations that we're in right now. We can trust the Lord. You can put your hope and your confidence in the Lord, and you can hear from God. If you'll seek after him, you can hear the voice of the Lord. Amen. And of course, that's primarily from the Bible, God's word. You can hear the word of the Lord, and God can speak directly to your life and to your need and to your situation through his word. And then after you hear the word, believe it and trust in it. Obey it. I mean, it took a lot of courage for Jeremiah to do the things that he did. It almost looked like, this is foolishness. This is a waste of my time and what little money that I have. This is a waste of time. But God was using this to plan for his future. God was using this situation. And he couldn't see the future, but God could see the future. And he knows all about what's ahead for you and for me. And we need to put our trust in the Lord. And we need to know the word of the Lord and hear from God and obey the word of the Lord, and then ask God to move in your situation. Invite him into your circumstance, whatever that it might be. Some of you have gone through loss, you've gone through sickness, you've gone through a lot of things. This year is going to be a lot different than last year. You're facing challenges and circumstances that are beyond your ability. You don't know how that you're going to be able to navigate through all of these times that we're in right now. You need to ask God. That's what he did. Oh, Lord God, you created the heavens and the earth. Show your strong arm. There's nothing too hard for you, Lord. Nothing that's too hard for you. And you can know the Lord. And he's concerned about you and your trouble. A song that we play on the radio a lot is the song, It Matters to the Master, the Collingsworth family. It matters to the Master. It does. It does. You may not think anybody cares or anybody even knows what you're up against in your crisis or your trouble, but God knows about it, and he cares about what you are going through. And God is a God who can turn your impossibility into something that's possible. Amen. God can move in your situation and turn it around for the glory of God. And he is a God that works miracles. He's still the miracle working God. Hold on to the Lord. This may be the year that God shows himself mighty and strong in many of the things that you've been praying about for a long time. Amen. Hold on to the Lord and know that your life and your future is in his hands, and he's at work on your behalf. Amen. Several miracles that are recorded in the scripture in the New Testament, actually in the Gospel of John. The first one is the miracle of the wedding of Cana, and you would think, well, this is Jesus, the Son of God. Why would he be concerned about just something as incidental as just what they're drinking at a wedding? And I think the lesson here, many lessons in that story, but a wonderful lesson is that God works miracles in things that matter to you and to me. God works miracles in those areas of our life that you may think, well, those are small and insignificant. I really shouldn't even ask God or even bother the Lord with this situation. But oh, he's interested in everything that matters to you. He's concerned about your life and your needs and your concerns. And he is working and moving. And just as he turned the water into wine at that wedding of Cana, that was his first miracle. So that's a significant thing that he performed, his first miracle at an event that would just be commonplace for most people. Amen. Amen. And God is concerned about you and your circumstances that you are in today. Another miracle that he performed was the man who was laid at the pool of Bethesda. 38 years he had laid there, and Jesus came along and said, "Do you want to be whole? Wilt thou be made whole?" And this man said, "But sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool." And Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." Amen. This is another miracle of Jesus that describes the fact that he's the God of circumstances that you've been dealing with for a long, long time. This man, 38 years. Sometimes we have a problem or a burden or a need, and we've carried this thing so long that we've just kind of got used to it. This is the way it's going to be. This is a part of my life. But it doesn't have to be that way. This was a problem that was changed by the miraculous power of Jesus Christ, even though he had suffered for 38 years. Some of you may have dealt with circumstances or problems so long, and you don't really think that God is concerned, but he is. He's a God that's a miraculous God that wants to move in your life, even if your problem has been a long-term situation. Believe God that maybe 2022 will be the year that things will turn and things will be changed. In that lost family member, in that situation that you have dealt with, in that thing that is, you know, just a burden to you and a worry to you, put it in the hands of the Lord. Jesus said, it's time for things to change, to be turned around. God wants to turn your impossible problem into a great possibility of God's mighty power at work in our lives. Praise God. You know, I believe that's true for our church. That every church, every pastor that I have spoken to in the last year or two, I'm telling you, folks have gone through a lot of things. Every church has had their challenges with all that's gone on in our world. But somehow I just have to believe, I do believe in my heart, that God has wonderful plans that he wants to do in the body of Christ and in the church and the local church here, right here, First Pentecostal Church. God wants to revive us. He wants to send his spirit. He wants to send an outpouring of his spirit. He wants us to be moving in revival and experiencing the power of God in our lives, from the children, the young people, everyone of all ages, to experience the power of God. Let's believe God for that. Let's pray Jeremiah's prayer about that. Lord, you created the heavens and the earth. Lord, stretch out your strong arm and send revival. Lord, stretch out your strong arm and heal the sick. Lord, and touch our community. And move by your spirit and do supernatural and wonderful things among your people, Lord, because you're a God that can work in every situation. A God of possibilities. Amen. Let's believe God together here this morning and put your need, your burden, your worry, put it right in the middle of that prayer of Jeremiah. It's not too hard for the Lord. Not too hard for the Lord. Maybe for you. Maybe it might seem impossible to you, but can you imagine any more of an impossible circumstance than what Jeremiah was up against? The city is besieged. He is being imprisoned for what he had preached. All this is happening, and his whole nation that he loved was under the judgment of God, and God just interrupts it all and says, "Wait just a minute now. I want you to know I've got a plan for your future. I got a plan for your future. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide for you. Just buy this land, because one of these days, it may be dry and barren right now, but one of these days, it's going to be fruitful. It's going to be vineyards that are bearing fruit. It's going to be a valuable blessing to you in your future if you'll only trust in the Lord." Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that you are truly a God of possibilities. Lord, I don't know what next week, next month, this year holds, but I'm confident, Lord, that you have my good and the good of your people in mind. And you're at work, Lord, in these days. Lord, and we're here for a purpose. Help us to fulfill our divine purpose, the calling and the purpose that we have, Lord, as a local church. Lord, to minister to as many as we can and to believe you, Lord, to do great things, mighty things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Could we stand together this morning? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Here we are at this new year, just getting started. My, this would be such a good time for you to just put your life and your future into the hands of the Lord. Amen. Just give it to Jesus. I don't know all the trouble or the sickness or all the things that are weighing heavily upon your heart. God knows all about it. And he cares about your life and he cares about your future, just like he did for Jeremiah. Hallelujah. So today let's pray that prayer. Lord God, you have created all that is, the heavens and the earth. Reveal your strong arm, Lord. There's nothing too hard for you. Praise the Lord. Nothing too hard in your needs, your circumstance today. Praise God. Hallelujah. We want to pray before we leave the service today. And I want to welcome all of you that would to come in around the front. Let's come and let's pray. Let's commit our lives and our futures into the hands of the Lord. And let's believe God. Hallelujah. God, nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is impossible with you, Lord. All things are possible to them that believe. Hallelujah. Would you gather in? Let's pray together. Whatever your burdens, your needs are, just put it in the hands of the Lord today. He's able to help you. Praise God.